Welcome to Ever Beyond. Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh, yes, you are.
Ah,
my phone's going off. Anyway, somebody's going to call me.
Is somebody calling me?
Oh, well, it's going diddly 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 diddly. Anyway, stop it. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, and welcome to Ever Beyond once again. It's the 13th of August. It's 11 PM UK time, round midnight here in the UK. And what's happening? We're in the middle of supposedly the biggest meteor shower that never happened. I'm just having a quick peek at the magnetometer, which has not been too bad. It seems to be getting edgy. Every time, it's every evening for America and every morning, early morning, midnight to 8 AM or so. There are lots of, solar magnetic variations coming to Earth. And what that means is that, feelings are involved. So it's like a rapid switching and, you know, much as Laura was talking about, on the last show, you know, it's very stressful to be in this magnetic variance. It's what we've been talking about for several years. It's, you know, being able to, cope with these magnetic variations and realize that it's how you're feeling about things might not be, being able to gauge the intensity of something is very difficult at the moment. And so as you can see in the world, and they knew it was happening. They knew it was coming. So, you know, the powers that be, the dark cabal, whoever you want to call them, know about all this stuff. And that's why they have these magnetometers and why they have these predictions. And so they can see what the cycles are, and then just when the cycles are, they can put some energy, they either add their energy or plan their events so that they happen during these moments. And so we see another, it was George Soros's birthday. I mean, for God's sake, it was George Soros's birthday. Let's have a little feast of louche on the whole thing that's been going down in America. Polar division, you could call it, what you call divide and rule, convincing some people that they're one thing, you're red, and other people that you're another thing, oh, you're blue, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's just like what we call left-wing politics in UK has a red tint, or it used to have a red tint, now it's yellow or green or something. It's just, you know, choose a color, choose a flag, and then fight the other people with the other color flags. Okay? Oh, why do we have to do that? Well, that's because they got the other color flags. Yeah, because they're bad. Because they want to invade us. All right, so we'll invade. Anyway, we won't go into that. That's not what it's about. I was talking to Vanessa earlier about, you know, why I love reggae music. Reggae music is very unifying. It's a very easy beat to dance to. It's very unifying. It can bring everybody together. It's pretty joyous, usually. It's music of the intelligent but oppressed. And that's why I love to listen to it. So anyway, just going on about that. It's stressful. Can you touch upon, yeah, the Schumann frequencies, right? So this is another thing, you know. This is, okay, so we're faced with the oh God, forgotten the word. I'm having real trouble with words. This is another thing, you know, when all the emotions are being swirled up around and down and, you know, around, you can't express yourself very easily. That's the one. It's really hard to express. So we're experiencing, you know, and that's why people are not being able to argue properly, because the right words aren't coming, and that gets them angry at themselves, and then there's a whole kind of swirling vortex that brings down. So how do we get through it? Yes, exactly. RSNA, resonate. Yes, I remember a Babylon 5 episode where they wore different color scarves. That's right. It was the alien race, the Drazi. And every year, or every, you know, whatever their, cycle was, they would, all be assigned a scarf. You know, it was green or it was purple. And it literally was that, you know, each one would get a green or a purple scarf, and then they would fight. The greens against the purples. And when they said, why are you fighting him? He said, well, because he's wearing a green thing. So it's the same thing, isn't it? It's the same thing. Now, why are we fighting each other? We don't know who the enemy is because we think the enemy is the other thing. Women fighting against men fighting against other men. It's that time. It's the, you know, it's, we've been, it's the time of the crossing, and everybody's cross, you know, everybody's getting a bee in their bonnet about something. It's because of all the unprocessed stuff that we carry, all the uncried grief, all of the unfelt sadness and loneliness and aloneness, and, you know, that we all get in this, what they call the veil of tears, this planet. Anyway. Exactly. Exactly, Gaz. So, anybody want to call in and talk about this? And, you know, but I don't want to talk about, you know, why Republicans are bad. I need to talk to people who are kind of above this crap, right? And realize that, yes, it's divide and conquer. It's a game. And we need to learn how to walk off the board. Or at least. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Another good one. If we're in a simulation, then it could be a subroutine program that is making us fight. Yes. Any way to polarize. Exactly. Well, here's the thing. It's like, well, when you turn up a microphone, for instance, we all know what happens when the microphone goes up too much. It starts to distort, and there's that kind of crispy edge that you get, and then it gets full on distorted, and that's, you know, what you have on an electric guitar. That makes it sound sweet. But essentially, if we can all learn to kind of knock it down a cog, turn it back down a bit, you know, go down from 8 to 6 or something. You know, however much you can manage. And really give people a little more time. Let people finish their sentences. That's a really good way of avoiding fights, is to let people finish. hang on. It's the Archon Sport. Yes. Well, so here we go. You know, why, it's not our fault for buying into the divide and conquer. We were tricked into it. It's an old trick. Okay. Well, you know, it might be the oldest trick in the book, but when you've never seen the trick before, it still works. Why do we have to blame ourselves? That adds another layer. Oh, it's all my fault. Well, why can't you fix it? Well, it's because of them. All right. they perpetuate it. They. There's a whole network. It's like a river, little rivulets leading to a stream, leading to a river, leading to the oceans. Yeah. So, we have all the information to liberate ourselves, but few choose to do so. It is about responsibility. So what is responsibility? Here's a good one. Responsibility. Responding. The ability to respond to what's in front of you. You see, whatever it is. If you have a stray dog come into your life, or a stray puppy, and they just present themselves to you. Oh, in my case, a stray chicken. She's not mine. I didn't buy her, but she seems to come here every day. So now she's my responsibility, and I feed her. Bless her little heart. She doesn't lay eggs. Poor thing. I don't know. Anyway. There's a rumor that Dolores Cannon is still alive. I'm not sure about that. There we go. Mankind, past and present, must accept responsibility for the continuance of the construct. Yes, but it's like saying to a goldfish, you must empty the water in this bowl. Well, what do they swim around in afterwards? People are used to their environment. And, like Morpheus says, they're not ready to be unplugged. Although, right at this moment, with all of this stuff going on, with all of these magnetic flips, which is kind of aggravating everything that's going on in the world, all this sense of conflict building up and building up and building up. Retrogrades. Mercury retrograde, causing stuff to go wrong. Hey, guys, I've just upgraded this week. I finally had to bite the bullet because I was unable to use Skype anymore. Ha, what a shame. But it's my livelihood. I work with it and so it's really necessary. So Skype stopped working last Monday or so, and I had to use Linux for a couple of days, but I finally bought and installed Windows 7, and it's been quite a journey, let me say. It's not been a happy one. But that's what happens. Radio gone here. No, I'm still on. Yeah. So I've only just like yesterday or today managed to get to actually using it instead of just waiting for the updates to load and download and update and upload and download and upload and restart. I don't know how many times I've seen that waking up screen, Anyway. Could the construct be a tidal pool that has receded and doesn't know its source? Well, I think the idea is that we take control of the constructs and start constructing our own constructs. If that makes sense. Just try it. Try it. The universe, or the construct, let's say the construct, works in terms of feelings. And if you feel something for long enough, the universe will continue it. Oh, yeah. Please use a large 14-point font in the chat room, so that people can read it. I can read it, but many other people. Yes. Lovely. So, you can call in, All Spirit Radio on Skype. And when you hear, what is it? 775-773-3431. Gosh. I nearly forgot it. I only said it a couple of minutes ago. Anyway, so here we are. And, so there wasn't very, wasn't very much in the way of guests. Everybody's out on their, you know, on their jaunts and then their travels at the moment. So it would be good if they should have gone to Specsavers. Mop, mop. Anyway, yes. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Yeah, so taking responsibility for changing the matrix that you're in. You know, if it's standing in front of you, it's your responsibility. You know, if it's calling for your help or it's looking broken, that's what I see. So... Let's see. Plus one, Tolson 5, 773, 3431. And, if you're in the UK, 44-141-356-4141. That's, 0141-356-4141. Come and talk to me, TJ. Come and talk to me. See what happens. I'm sure we'll discuss some interesting things. Yeah. So there's been a lot of disruption, and people are in a great tiswas, about all sorts of things, about, you know, do you really believe that that guy with the funny hair really has that kind of, no, it's a show. It's somebody, again, harvesting loosh, your fear. Don't give it to them. You know, when people say don't buy into it, that means don't be scared by anything. Realize, understand that they're just threatening. They're just intimidating. They're just, you know, bullying. There we go. Much better. They're just bullying. And trying to make us scared, because that's how they win, or they keep on top. But really, the whole bit doesn't work anymore. The whole bullying bit, that doesn't work anymore. And so they're trying more and more to make us scared, and more and more scared. And so things are looking more and more overwhelming, and they're really working it. But to be honest, as far as I can see... It's a, you know, there's a possibility of a great breakthrough, or everybody could go under. I don't know. But the thing is, from what I can see, it's not about fighting something and breaking apart. It's being able to see what you have in common, how we can work together, and how we can integrate the energies. And it's really hard. It can be really hard. How do you integrate something? How do you work with it? We have to learn it. It's got to play out. It's got to play out its game. It's got to play out its vibration. You have to see how somebody is, see how everybody is, see what the way they work, the way they move, the way they talk and interact. So, yes, the eternal now. Oh, I may need to pull out a replay. Yeah, maybe. Well, it's been a few years. Ask Sean to call in. Sean, is that lunatic? All right. let me put some music on, and then I can refocus. Here's some more Neil Young. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yeah, so for some reason I needed to be out there. What a spectacular moment that was. I saw one little Perseid fireball over on the east side, and I looked over, and there was this little green light just coming over a tree, and it was real kind of, oh, there's a telephone ringing somewhere. I don't know which one it is, though. Answer. Hello. No, that didn't work. Why then call me? So, turn that one off. Seems to go to the web page first before it goes to the Skype app. Remember to have it on, have no Skype app. So yeah, I was just standing up there. I wanted to go out and talk to the fire. I had a little fire sort of burning with the fire pit and sort of pushed the bits of wood together and, you know, see what I could see in there. And then I looked up and there was this moon, and the moon was rising just above the tree, just perfectly aligned, like the beginning of 2001 A Space Odyssey, where the sun rising behind the obelisk. So the moon rising behind a tree is a sort of organic version of that in my own little fantasy world. Anyway, yeah, so where were we? Yeah, spiky, jaggy energies. Yeah, look for as much peaceful moments in the now as possible. Enjoy, you know, if you're eating some food, eat the food. You know, just like taste it and spend some time breathing it in, enjoying it with more than one sense. Because the fewer senses we use to experience something, the more we're likely to forget it. Savor your moments. Savor these moments because they are rushing by so quickly. So, and this is what I'm saying about whatever you're doing, try and be there, present in it as much as possible. And if you're not able to, then these are things we need to work on. This is things you need to work on. This is your responsibility to be able to move and flow with the world. We need to be able to swim like fishes with these waves, because if we can swim harmoniously with them, you know, like a river bends, it doesn't take sharp turns. So there is a softness to these waves that you can ride them. But otherwise, if you're not aware of them, then, you know, that you hit the sharp edge of it. So, finding out what's your cycle, you know, if you need to, make little notes. All right. I was feeling good at 4 p.m. and not so good at 5 p.m. and then I felt better at 7 p.m. You know, you make little notes. I suppose if you want, you could use Facebook for that to feed the Gestalt conditioner to find out how everybody's feeling, to see if their weapons are working as well. Oh, exactly, resonate. Does a fish know it's in water? Does it care about water? So what have we got here? Jay, 23rd of September. Alignment of Mars, Mercury, and Mars, Jupiter in the mix. Virgo and Leo. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, we're coming up to Virgo soon. Actually, Virgo will be moving into Virgo on the day of the eclipse. So that's very interesting as well. So there's a lot going on. It's a real kind of edge point. There's a lot of distractions. It's hard to focus because everybody seems to be blowing up. Everybody seems to be having a drama. So we need to be able to self-soothe our own dramas and then help others to help them soothe themselves to deal with their own dramas. Seems to be the only way. How else do we do it? How else does the wave of peace spread? If it's gonna happen, it's gotta happen. I suppose it's just being able to find open spaces in your life, to try and make them, you know, just a moment. My teacher always said, you know, take the time to stop and smell the roses, for instance, you know, and it's really helped. And whenever I've had that, you know, I've been walking down the street and there's lovely flowers in people's gardens, you know, sometimes you just like take it all for granted and walk past, but think how different life would be if you would just to kind of take a moment to experience that lovely scent as you walk past. Or watch the bees and the lovely flowers and the wild roses. So, listening is another thing. You know, just being able to be still, pay attention, hear what's going on. Listening to the gaps in things. Listen to the spaces between things. Yeah. Jupiter is born on the 23rd of September. Well, he'll be a Libra. Uh-huh. Chia seeds and oatmeal. What is this? Yeah, I'll check in Facebook to see what everybody had for them. What's that? So. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Right, okay, sorry, I'm reading the chat room here. That's very interesting. Gaz is putting all these things in the chat room. It is said that Jupiter has been in the womb of Virgo for 9 months, and then on the 23rd of September, Jupiter is born. Is that because it's been going retrograde? I don't know. And that a part of Google Sky is blanked out. Oh, why? Why, Gaz? What's happening up there? So, stillness of the dawn. What is the stillness of your dawn? Oh, was that I don't know. So, there's my ignorance. As I said, it's a moment where it's very hard to focus. There's a lot of energies moving. It's hard to retain, a poise, a sense of what's sacred, because there's, you know, things are flying around. Things are flying out around in the sky. That's a star is visible over 2,000 years. Okay. I see. So, 2017 is the birth of the new, incarnation, a birth of the new era. Maybe? I don't know. Birth of Abraham. I don't, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's the Ray 7, time period. It, you know, there's a lot of, it's all about personality, really. And it's, well, I mean, it's made, you know, religion is about personality, spirituality, if you like. I don't know. I don't want to get into an argument here. But, you know, the next step up, say you wanted to understand what duality was about, you'd need to understand what it would mean to be completely separated and also to be unified, to be one, to be part of a very, powerful family who can then, manipulate others into, being divided and ruled, you know. That's their game. Imagine being brought up. That's what you do. That's the game you play. I'm going to sneeze. Hang on. I'm just going to put a sound effect on.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
That's better. Ah, yes. Yes, much better. So, yeah, it's been a bit hard to get going tonight. You know, it's a bit like slipping everything up a hill. Okay, so, what do I mean about the Ray 7 time period? So, what they call the Aquarian Age was preceded by the Piscean Age, which was preceded by the Aries Age, which was preceded by the Taurian Age, and it goes back, Leo, etc., da, da, da. So every 2,000 or so years, 2160 years, you get a new age. So that's what new age really means. So what does that mean in terms of the ray energies? Are that various different rays or blends of rays are being transmitted through, and the main rays of the Aquarian Age are Ray 7, and the main ray of the Pisces Age, which is the last 2,000 years, is Ray 6. Okay, so Ray 7 is the what is known as the violet ray. But I, you know, people get fixated on colors. You know, don't get fixated on colors. I need to start wars, right? You know, no color is better than any other color. All right? Because they're all frequencies. We're all frequencies together. Yes. Everybody's good frequency, nice frequencies. Whole full spectrum rainbow frequencies. Complementary frequencies that, balance each other out. Okay. And there is there's a science behind it, and it connects to music, and it's been completely hidden because it's the thing that makes or that pulls all the disciplines together. Because, like you were having this conversation earlier on in the chat room, everything is vibration, you know, and where is it? You know, what is light? A description of visible or invisible particles and waves. For in the beginning there was light, right? What exactly is light? And the light, what is light? Well, for instance, what you see as colors, what you can't see as infrared, and what you can't see is ultraviolet, and what you can't see is X-rays or gamma rays, but they all exist and they all roll. They're all like different things, different frequencies on them than the electromagnetic spectrum. Wow, hard work. It's like pulling teeth. In fact, it's like last night a tooth kind of just dropped out of my gum. Oh. It was a piece. It was a fragment. It was quite, you know, what's the word? Relieving. Anyhow, my body finally rejecting something that is toxic in myself. Oh, there's a thought. So, meanwhile, back at the ranch. So we're talking about what's light. Okay. So, we have light that we see as colors, as I said, you know, going up to the ultraviolet, which then, although we can't see them, our cats and dogs can see these colors, infrared colors. Infrared is abundant. If you could see in infrared, you could see all the time. You know, you don't have to worry about night times, which is why we have soldiers who have infrared night vision goggles, which translate the octave below into the octave above, which is then visible. And so you can then see like eagles and things. Fly like an eagle. Spy like an eagle. So, but it's all frequency, and if you keep going down in frequency, you get to what we call radio waves. And then as the frequencies drop down and down and down and down and down, all the way through the different wave bands of radio, you know, all these words that you've heard, all these initials that you've heard, like AM, FM, long wave, medium wave, short wave, UHF, VHF, all of those and more describe octaves within the electromagnetic spectrum, which we call light and radio. So, when something has a frequency, when something is vibrating at a frequency that has, for instance, when you have the vibrations that are in very, very short, wavelengths, or as we call high frequencies, you have a, you measure it in what's called nanometers. And, so light, for instance, the visible light, red, is about 600 nanometers. And the octave above it, which is just coming into near ultraviolet light, or the violet ray, is about 300 nanometers. And it goes down, 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 down. Oh, God, this is really, really strong. It's really intense work to kind of pull this all together. Because it feels very scattered. So, meanwhile, let me just see. There we go. Light is the absence of dark. Well, everything is frequency. So, if something's vibrating, then you could say that it's light. You know, when something doesn't vibrate, when something absorbs vibration, you could say that that's dark. And that's what black is. The color black absorbs frequencies. Black holes absorb things. So, the seventh ray. Alright, so about rays, okay, and then, so every octave we have, is divided really into threes and then sevens and then twelves, as you get more and more blended between the colors. You could look at that, you could look like a color wheel. You have three primary colors, and then you have the secondary and tertiary colors, and they may make up the three, the seven, and the 12. And, cause it's geometrical. You just need to visualize it on a sort of hexagonal basis, and you can see how they all stem one from the other and how the blends work and how the relationship between 3 and 7 and 12, because people think, oh, well, I'm from the 12, so I'm better than the 7, and the people from the 7 are better. No, we're just numbers. We're just vibration. We're all the same. People and their things. You know, people have been trained to be single color, whereas my feeling is that we should all be full spectrum. You know, that we celebrate the richness of our lives on all dimensions and on all chakras and on all wavelengths as we can. Because we're beings of light, and we radiate light, and we try, we know. We don't know, we don't try, and we just assume that the consequences of what we do and say ripple out. Which is why, if you're conscious of it, you try to do things that are positive, because otherwise you get crap back here coming at you. Excuse me. So, the monolith contains light. That's right. Little points of light. I like that thing. I made one of those once, I think. Is that yeah, it's a little Merkaba. Very pretty. Okay. So, yes. Colors 3-7. So, okay, so basically when I'm working on the 7 ray level, which is like, that's the all right, so what does the 7th ray age mean? What does it mean? It means that people who are born, who are incarnated, have a 7th ray soul. You see? And in the old days, in the 6th ray age, people were born with 6th ray souls. And we've been through, in the last 100 years, a transition between 6th ray and 7th ray. And that's what the new age means. But what's happening is people are still applying the 6th ray values of devotion and loyalty and all of this stuff to the belief systems of the 7th ray age, which are, well, basically, you have to find out for yourself what reality is. And you'll realize it very easily if you, you know, just look through your heart and, you know, just be normal. As usual, the power structures that held, that are the status quo, are unable to adapt and are still trying to keep everybody in the 6th ray, feeding zones, which are the whole, loose generators, the Sauruses of this world. Yes. 149. That, so when we've got the 7th ray children coming in, and this is what people call the crystal children. Okay, so between the 6th ray age and the 7th ray age, there needed to be some kind of buffering. Because otherwise, you know, it'll just be, you know, just a complete wipeout and there'll be nobody left. There's a blending. It blends from one to the other. And so this is what's been going over the last 100 years, is people have been learning new ways of relating to each other. And this is really what it's about. It's about learning right relationship instead of the relationship of dominance and submission. And it's all being played out in terms of the, what we call the empire and, the free people. Play act always happens. And sometimes the empire wins and sometimes the people win. And this time the people win and, the empire, shrinks a little bit more. It's part of a cycle. It's probably been going on a long, long, long time. So, not to make everything this depressing, because it's actually good news, because we're, this time round, we get to have a nice, clean one. And the idea of the sort of domination and the New World Order and all of that is a construct that they've tried to place in our minds so that it can happen, so that they, you know, that we actually, using our creative abilities, literally create the New World Order for them. They just, you know, they just pretend it is, and somehow we manifest it into being. So the idea being that we manifest something else into being, which has a much more healthy reverberation back to humanity. No, you're going to have to pay for your RFID chips, Scots. Yeah, I think people should pay for how much R&D these things cost. You know? People should pay for them. Yeah. If you can't afford to be chipped, then, yeah, don't get a chip. Can't have one. I don't know. You know, I think all these nightmare scenarios, they're isolated. They're not global. And they may play out in some way, that fulfills the book, you know, or fulfills the plan, depending on how you're looking at it. But to be honest, it's an old plan and it's worn out, doesn't work. Try something new. That's all I'm saying. Try something new. Let's try a new Aquarian. Which, you know, an Aquarian attitude is like we're seeing, without enforcement, of understanding of the process of free will and the rule of law. It's just an acceptance and that everybody's happy in it. The question is, who makes the laws? But it's really the idea of understanding our own process of universal law and that we are the law as well as we are the source, and because we create our universe. So they say. Ah, I don't know. Sometimes it feels like that. Oh, Ro. Mr. Ray. Hang on, let me see. All right, yeah, it's funny. I'm not seeing it, but I'm calling it. Maybe I should turn on some Skype sounds. Hi there, Ray.
I got to turn off,
Somebody else is calling. Alright.
Sorry, John.
Alright, that's okay. Sean Lunatics.
Stop there.
Right, time's up.
Right.
Hello,
how are you?
Alright. How are you? I mean, how's things in London? Because, you know, I visited the south of England last month.
Yeah, I'll be back now. I could have come and see you. my father lives in Bognor Regis.
Bognor? Yeah. Really? When I was a kid, I used to go to holidays in Bognor.
Yeah, so did I. I went to Butlins, because Butlins is on top, isn't it?
That's right, down the road. My dad had a friend, he knew him from the Second World War, and we used to go, because he was the only other French Canadian in the south of England.
Oh, really?
And he lived in Bognor Regis.
Bognor Regis. And I would say about 30 years ago, I was with a, 40 years ago, and with three boys, which was talking to our girlfriends, was talking about Bognor Regis, and they could not understand the word Bognor Regis. We was going to go there, just leave them, just go for a weekend.
It is a funny sounding thing, you know, because first of all, it's got the word bog in it, right? Which doesn't, number one, you know, it doesn't start well.
No, it doesn't.
So, and then it's got nor, right? So it's either bog nor something. Yeah. And then Regis, right? And what's that? It's like, so it's got the only claim to fame is that some king, came to stay there as a, for some reason, because because nobody else wanted to go there, so he had a really nice quiet time, and he was able to heal himself. And so, so for some reason, Bognor Regis has gained the name of Regis, because previously Regis. It was just called Bognor.
Regis. Regis. What's the word Regis come from? I mean,
from king.
Can you work this word?
Yeah, and it's the same word as registrate. Register.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fascinating. Yeah, because my older brother lives there, actually. And I go down there, you know, quite a lot. And when you were down there, you were only just down the road from Brighton. It's only about, I mean, you could walk to Brighton in about hour or not.
Yeah.
Hour.
Yeah, it's
just a second. Yeah.
So there you go. We are talking about two places on the south coast of England, the English Channel, where the beaches have not sand, but pebbles.
pebble stones.
Known as shingle. And it's like, it makes your toes curl up when you...
Oh, they're quite big stones. I was down here, and there was, my young daughter, my daughter was with me, and, we had, my youngest nephew with me. He was only about 5 or 6, and he was just throwing stones everywhere. And we're saying to him, just throw the stones into the sea. And I said, I got to go back to my car, because I had to put, because of the parking meter. So I walked back to my car and put on more money on the parking meter. I come back, my daughter's running up towards me. Her head bleeding with blood. Because my young nephew threw a stone.
The pebbles.
It's gone opposite the other way and it cracked her right on the head.
bless her.
It was just a fun day, you know. But it was just so weird. Young children throw stones, and when they don't go forward, they go backwards.
Bless their little heads. So, Lunatics All Around Me is trying to call me, and I can't get through. Let me just see, which one has got the telephone number here? That one. That's offline. Right, let me turn... Oh, God. Let me turn this one online. Okay. See if you call. See if you can get a call. Yeah.
It seems a bit difficult tonight. I mean, I rang you 3 times.
Really?
And, yeah.
Weird.
On the Skype.
It's the new Skype, you see. The only way I could... I've had to reinstall everything. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not used to the... Alright, okay. I can bring him in. I can call it.
It's just so fascinating. You were talking about, light just now.
Yeah.
About, and I watched a BBC program, must have been about 10, 15 years ago. And it was, called Light Fantastic. And I forget the name of the, person who's doing the show. Oh, it was Martin Schaffer, and he was talking about everything is light. Everything.
That's
everything
right.
Comes to light. Yeah. It was a good show, and I was quite fascinated because the BBC is showing something like that. It was on BBC Four. Which a lot of people don't watch anyway. But everything comes to light. Everything. It's a pretty good show. I think you can download it, obviously.
Light Fantastic. I think
Light Fantastic.
Was it from the 70s or something?
Oh, no. It was probably about from the 90s.
Alright. But yeah, I mean, basically, everything is a, condensation. You know what condensation is, right? That's when you get steam.
Yeah, so I must be a double glazer. I mean, I should tell everybody about condensation.
Yeah.
So what's the opposite of condensation? It's evaporation.
Evaporation, yes. Or vaporization.
Yeah. And then she says to me, why do I get water on my window? I said, open your window.
It's trying to get out. It's just getting stopped.
Yes, exactly. That's why you know, that's why it's on your windows, because you don't open your air to your room.
Alright, so here's the mind blower, right? Is that liquid things and solid things and, or as rather solid things, then liquid things, then gaseous things, then fiery things. They're like, they're just octaves, aren't they?
Of course
now. Yeah. See? So you give more energy, you put more energy into it, and it goes up the octave. So when you put energy into a solid thing, like putting heat into ice, it becomes water. When you put more heat into the water, it becomes water vapor, steam. When you put more heat and energy into it, it becomes plasma.
Yeah. So it makes so much sense, isn't it?
Yeah, and so that's the way the universe works. It's just everything's in octaves. And it, when you understand that, then you can also understand that emotions are also there, and feelings are also there, and smells and colors all have a certain frequency in a certain octave.
Yeah, that's why your body tells you in its own sense how you feel, and you got to just sit back and listen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's good to listen, isn't it?
Yeah, you got to listen to yourself to realise who you are. I mean, the last 2-3 weeks, you know, I had a car crash, I crashed my car, and it was a big trauma, you know, because it was involving one person, involving another person, and I had people screaming and shouting at me when I had the car crash, and you can't think because you're in that 30-second, what the hell happened, you know, and then at the end, everything turned out right. I spoke to everybody, I got out of the car, I calmed them all down, I said, I'm very sorry, it's an accident, these things happen, that's why we're insured. And then after about 15 minutes, everybody was cool. And we're all talking like friends, like we never, no, like we're talking like friends, we all know each other. And even the youngest bloke in front, who first of all was shouting, effing, blind and swearing at me, I thought, let him have his 5 minutes. And I just calmed the whole situation down. And when after that, everything calmed down. And then he comes to me and says, can I have your insurance number? I said, of course you can. I said, but you can't if you come shouting and swearing at me. You must calm down. And it was just a weird situation having this bash. It was weird how it started in the first place. But it all turned out okay because the insurance company ripped my car off. They reimbursed me. I got a lot more money than I thought I would have ever got for a car because it was a very old car. And now I just bought myself a better car with the money they gave me, and everything's just turned out okay.
See?
Yeah.
It worked. It's about sitting and allowing the universe to speak.
Yeah. To come to you.
Yeah.
Rather, yeah, exactly. It's open. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and it's really hard. It's like that, you know, everybody has to be a Zen master being able to walk some sort of emotional tightrope.
Yeah.
And just allow whatever has to happen to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's been in awkward moments of sit back and look at it. I mean, talk. Rather than shout and say, "Oh, no, this is what's happened." Okay, right now we're in this predicament. Can we talk about it? And it works really good. I'm very surprised myself. I've done that way because I've never ever done it that way before.
That's great, Ray. So you're living it. You're living it,
I'm
so pleased that you know. That's why I haven't got it the last couple of days because like
never done that before. I just never sat back and looked. Yeah. It's probably the bang of the crash, and I sat there for 30 seconds.
Maybe a bit stunned.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit stunned.
Yeah. Obviously, I was.
Did you do any breathing? Did you realize, oh shit, I forgot to breathe, you know?
Yeah, I've been doing that from since I was 20. For the first time I'd done it, I sat down. I was in my bedroom one time, and I was just lying down on my bed, having to relax. And I jumped up and I thought, I can't believe this. I just forgot to breathe. It's just so weird. I got up and I thought, I just forgot to breathe. How the hell can you do that? How can you stop and forget to breathe? And ever since that day, I had panic attacks. And it went on and on. And then I realised that it was not I forgot to breathe. I was just wasn't thinking in the right moment. And I was with my girlfriend one time and she said, "Why? How can you do that?" I said, "I don't know." But I said, "Now I do know. I think it's just because there's some sort of something inside me wants to be let out and I want to release it." She couldn't understand what I was saying. But that's not how I felt. There's something inside I want to release that's making me think in this sort of panic attacks I want to release. And it's just pure living. Something's making me do this. I don't want it no more.
I understand. That sounds like a trigger.
And that took me 30 years, Jane.
We've only just started learning about the effects of mass trauma.
Yeah.
You know, because we've never seen mass trauma before. We'd seen, Uncle came home from the war a bit funny. And it's kind of escalated to, 9/10 of the human population have advanced complex PTSD.
Yeah.
And nobody can hold it together. And that's why the world is falling apart. So you're touching a real seam there. You may be on that. It's that frequency, that is coming in, that is causing us all to be triggered, as we say, which stops us breathing, And the first thing we have to do, if we could how do we de-trigger, is to take a breath.
Exactly. I turn on my computer and I put in my password. And as I do it, I think, breathe. Because I'm pressing the button and I'm looking, because I'm not very good at on keyboard. I'm looking for the because I'm a bit silly that way. Letters and spelling. And I get so frustrated and I stop it. You're forgetting to breathe again.
That's right. Don't forget to breathe. So now, Ray, you can take a breath. Let's bring in Mark, who's also wanting to come in. Hello. What? Oh, hang on, he's not in yet. There we go. Oh, fuzzy blue lights. Is it blue or purple? Purple, I think. Mark.
Yeah.
There you are. Greetings. I've never spoken.
I'm here.
Have I ever spoken to you?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, talk. Interesting. Well, anyway, welcome to Over Beyond. We've been talking about light and we've been talking about Bognor and we were just talking about... What were we?
Breathing!
That's right. Yeah. That's the one.
Hi Ray, how are you?
Hi. Very nice to hear you.
Yeah, JP, you've been on, an open canvas?
A long, 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 long time ago.
I think I mentioned the Wicker Man, and I prompted you to call in one time.
Ah, right, the Wicker Man, that thing, yeah. Actually, there was a bit of a Wicker Man event this evening, as I said, looking over the moon, with the moon sitting above the tree. I'll never capture it on camera now, it's too late, but it was quite a nice little moment there.
Cool.
So, yeah, how are you doing? What's up?
No, I'm just sitting here catching part of your show and doing some reading, and it's been a while since I've been over here to Wolf Spirit, but you know I spoke with Dave Corso a few times. I had a few set up a few shows here.
Oh, that's great. That's good that you're familiar with the old layout here. My recent interaction with Mark is that he's been booking all of the hosts.
Yes, hosts.
For the shows that I produce on Revolution Radio, on Mondays and Thursdays. And, it's a thankless task. It's a continuous task, and it's like it never ends. And it just seems to be almost overwhelming. And all I can do every morning is like, please, please, please bring Sean back.
Yeah.
I miss you. Anyway, so there you go.
Was it 12:30 now?
Yes, it's 12:30 here in the U of K, with Ray at the bottom and me at the top.
Yeah, it's 1:30 here. 1:30 in the morning.
Is it?
No, it's 12:30 in the morning.
12:30, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Because if it was 1:30, we've really overrun.
You'll shut the show off. Mm.
So, yeah.
And Ray, you're in southern England?
I'm in London, yes.
Oh, okay. It's been a while since I've been there,
We had the best day in London for sunshine for the last, I would say, 2 weeks. Haven't seen the sun for 2 weeks, you know, in London.
Okay, so is this your one day of summer and back to...
yeah, a great
day.
The
grey blanket of doom.
Yeah, cold, drizzly days.
No, it's not been drizzly, it's just been so overcrowded. And when it's in the morning, I always wake up in the morning, look out the window, and I see the chemtrails, and then it's overcrowded. And it's been now like for 2 weeks solid. And today's been the best day for, well, period, for the 2 weeks, actually. And it's been a good day today. But there was chemtrails.
Is...
Many of them.
Do you find that the chemtrails are a worldwide phenomenon and just not...
No, they're very worldwide. I wouldn't say worldwide. I would say in most populated areas.
Okay, well, London would be...
Well, the most, yes.
You have like 7 million people in the metropolitan area?
Yeah, 7 to 8 million, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're... do you think the chemtrail program is trying to thin out the population?
Yeah. When you get a deep population of people like that, no doubt. London's very dark. Very dark, London. It's a nice place to live. It's a nice place to visit. But to live here 24 hours is very, it can be very dark, London. It's, well, actually, I had a very good day today with my nieces. It was a 40th birthday party, and all the family got together, which is absolutely great. But London is a very, very dark place. I can feel the vibes in London. It's very dark.
Yeah, there's, yeah, there is a dark history.
Yeah.
I just make a visit to the Tower of London and you kind of get a nation's skeletons in the closet all in one place.
Yeah. Yeah, the Tower of London, well, it's where the ravens are. That they've got raven birds there.
Yeah.
And there's always a story, if the ravens leave, the tower will fall.
That's why they clip their wings.
Yeah, but they clip their wings, exactly. So they're not allowed to fall, are they?
Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
No. No, but I mean, they clip their wings on purpose. They keep them there on purpose just for a show that is for tourists, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So they hop around.
Well, you mentioned vacationing in Bognor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kind of going off the top of my head. I don't have my
map.
Philip Ziegler book in front of me, but I was wondering if like there was a lot of plague activity in Bognor. I think that was like one of the ports.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a very activity place. There's like a short pier. A pier is like I don't know if you know what a pier is. It's like yeah. When it goes out back into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
There's where JP went, Brighton Pier, which is
it's where they filmed parts of Quadrophenia.
Yeah,
absolutely. Actually, I was under
it's
the
pier. Quadrophenia, yeah.
Right? I was under the pier, at that very point, underneath the pier, and for some reason I recorded a podcast, and I'd forgotten that I'd done that, so I might have to I'll upload it to my YouTube channel and see what happens, but I did a little, you know, here I am standing on the thing. thing. So I might edit that up and upload that. I don't know why I did that, but I still carry the stones.
Yeah, JP, were you like reenacting the mods?
No, I was saying, can you see the real me? Can you? I'm gonna have to play some Who after this.
Oh, better, Quadrophenia.
That's right. So, yeah, so it's been, as I was saying, it's been hard work. I mean, look at the conflict and the things that it's hard work to remain still, if you see what I mean.
It's hard work to remain happy. It's just like people are barking at you. Even driving, people are barking at me. I thought, why are they pulling up in front of me? Why are they pulling up beside me? What, you know, it's just like, I got to stay calm. And it's been like that for a few weeks. But today, I had a great day today. So, you know, being with good vibes and good family, made a whole lot of difference today to me. Really did. You know. But it has been like that lately. People are barking for no reason at all. Well, why are you doing this, you know? Why are you putting your car in front of me? I mean, why are you walking across me? it just seems crazy. But I'm just going to go with the flow and that's it. I ain't going to get upset no more.
That's a great vow to have. Yeah,
yeah, I'm not going to have it no more, Jack.
Let's have a little bit more of The Who, and we'll come back in a few minutes.
Lovely.
There he is. This is the sound. Hey, we're on. Did okay. I miss it? How long have I been away? I was making a cup of tea.
Just a few seconds. You know, the nice thing about, you know, just kind of ad-libbing, The Who, Can You See the Real Me? And it's, interesting that, you know, Pete Townsend did Tommy, Who's Next? Was Quadrophenia the next? What followed Who's Next? But, I mean, there's, like, very few lyricists that have written three albums of that magnitude have been highly regarded for so long. Like Dylan, the Beatles, the cluster of some of the Beatles' last CDs and Stones, like late 60s into the Mick Taylor years. But, Pete really is a fantastic writer.
Hello. Sorry, I stepped away again. And it all went quiet.
Yeah, I'm still here. I think Ray's still here.
Brian.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Sorry, we're on the air.
Well, you were talking, that's why, so I didn't interrupt. Sorry.
What was that?
Well, no, I was just trying to praise what Pete Townsend did. That was a nice little diversion from me rambling on about the plague and other stupid stuff.
So, yeah, the British-English history of... plague zones, is that a particular historical moment for you, Mark?
That's interesting. I was just kind of all over Europe. It's not like I'm like really big into seeing people die, but you know it is interesting to. See how, like, the culture changed after the plague went into hibernation or whatever, went dormant for a few years, and you get little Geoffrey Chaucer, writing, Partner's Tale. And that's kind of like an autobiographical, poem. It's just interesting to see how, massive cultural changes affected people. Then you take that for what it's worth. I just like studying stuff like that. That's I just when you grow up next to a graveyard, little things like that, just kind of those little details out of history about strange things creates a quirky look at life.
Like, what are you trying to say?
I don't know. I was trying to answer JP's question. I do find it, studying the plague interesting. It's, not an overwhelming passion, but I read a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's an important part in world history and British history. And, could it have been, cause we see all these false flags these days. Could the plague have been something planted? There was an insurance job, and then they said, right, okay, well, everybody's got the plague. Let's just burn all these buildings down with some important historical documents in them, and then we can reinsure the place and rebuild London.
Yeah.
Could that have happened?
Yeah.
They wouldn't think of a thing like that, would they?
No, and not even during the, plague of 1665, and then you get the Great Fire of London in 1666. And
yeah.
You have to rebuild London. No, JP, there's enough cynical stuff that has happened to, make you realize, was there some kind of behind the scenes, backroom deal for someone to make a lot of money off the plague?
There's always been someone making money out of some sort of disastrous thing. Every time there's some sort of, disastrous. Is it, why is someone making money out of it? It's like war, anything else like that. They're always making money out of it.
Ray, I don't think you're being naive. I think you're just taking a realistic look at the human condition.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the human condition about the fire.
No, just the way people.
Yeah, exactly.
What motivates people? Just greed.
Exactly. It's always been this way. It's always been, the people in control. It's always controlled the people. And so, disaster is always been some sort of sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. That's what the fire in London was. It was a sacrifice. Whether it started in the middle of London and worked out in London. Do you know how they stopped the fire? What they had to do, they had to blow up all the houses outside the fire with dynamite, so that the other houses couldn't connect, like, as the fire going out, they blew up all the houses with dynamite to stop the fire. That's how they stopped the fire in 1666.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they had to blow up the houses with dynamite, so it couldn't connect, because the houses were so very close to each other. You could basically take your hand out of the window and shake hands with the person next door, because it was so narrow roads.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to blow up the houses around, and that's how they stopped the fire.
Okay, so people could exchange chamber pots too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, basically, just foam out on the street on top of someone's head. But...
Yeah, and that was an old sport, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. It was, if you dislike someone walking by, you just throw it out on top of them.
Oh, I'm sorry, mate.
It's raining shit on me.
I'm sure there are old phrases that reflect that, but I can't quite think of it.
Yeah. It's running cats and dogs, probably.
A dead cat and a dead dog. It's peeing it down.
Right, yeah. And throw it out the window on top of your head.
So there we go. I think we can bring this to an agonizing close. It's been a very kind of uphill kind of week, energies wise, and I'm glad that you're all here holding it together.
Thank you, JP.
We got another week to go. It might get worse. The feeling that I'm getting, right, is that this eclipse and the last eclipse, like last week, you know, it was last Monday. That was like the beginning of closing things down. It's like when somebody turns the switch off. And this is the moment when they're like, and then, you know, when you reboot the computer, right? There's a moment when it stops and then bling, on comes the new refreshed computer. And that's what it feels like. So there's an ending and a beginning. Ride it, everybody. I mean, it's so tricky. Just allow whatever has to happen. And you can't
just
stop it. So let it flow. Listen and stay on top and breathe. Don't forget, breathe through the nose, in through the nose, out through the mouth. It really works. It keeps you calm. Oxygen solves everything. Thank you very much, Ray. Thank you very, very much, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, JP.
Thank you very much, JP.
This has been Ever Beyond. Good night, everyone.